Welcome to another episode of Kevo and Heidi's Disney Over Coffee.
I'm Kevo.
And I'm Heidi.
And let's talk about Disney.
Let's do it. And we're back.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
It's been a while. We know it's been a while. So before we get into Cinderella, you want to do, which movie is it? Another round?
Let's do it.
All right. Who goes first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
He's with me, ain't he? And I'll learn him all I know.
No.
What?
Can I get another one?
What? I figured you were going to get it. Are you kidding? There's teeth in the other end.
There's teeth in the other end. That could be anything.
Whatever.
Okay. One more.
Man village, they'll ruin him. They'll make a man out of him.
Oh, of the Jungle Book?
There you go.
Hey! Finally. Finally get one. Gosh, I feel like this game is just not meant for me. My mind goes blank when you say them. So, all right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That might sound boring, but I think the boring stuff is the stuff I remember the most.
Nope, I got nothing.
Please let me in.
Please let me in. Nope.
Hey, that looks like Kevin.
Oh, that's up.
Yeah. So you got it. You got it. You remember when he's outside? Please let me in. Well, I guess I have finally beat the losing streak, and I got one, which is great. Not so much like you not guessing mine, but I just want to guess yours. Mm-hmm. All right, so today we are talking about Cinderella. The famous rags-to-riches tale of a beautiful girl reduced...
she was riches to rags to riches.
Riches to rags? Well, I mean, technically, yes. Because her family was, you know, in that, what is it, lordship or whatever. But, yeah, she was treated like a servant, though. By her jealous stepmother and stepsisters, Anastasia and Drizella. Cinderella was voiced by Eileen Woods, with Eleanor Audley as the stepmother, Verna Felton as the fairy godmother. Released in 1950, directed by Wilfred Jackson, Hamilton Lusk, and Clyde Geronimi. And I got some facts here, if you would like to hear them.
Hit us.
Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Song, and the film also received a nomination for Best Score of a Musical Picture, and the score itself is really good, I think. Lucifer was modeled after animator Ward Kimball's cat, a plump six-toed calico named Feetsie.
That's a scary cat.
Walt Disney told the animators, animating Lady Tremaine, Cinderella's stepmother, to portray her as Joan Crawford gone mad. Now, you don't know who that is, but I do. And I don't know if that's, like, shady or not, I guess. Because Joan Crawford was a very classic actress back in the day. And she had a way of looking when she was mad. Especially with her eyebrows, that it was kind of scary. So I'm wondering if that's where they were going for. Mm-hmm. That's why they designed her like that. The voice of Lady Tremaine is also the voice of Maleficent in Sleeping Beauty. And I don't know if you could pick it up right away.
They're related.
Mm-hmm. Evil is evil. The National Film Registry registered this movie to the Library of Congress in 2018 for being culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant. Do you agree?
Culture to what?
I don't know. Culture of what the 50s was back then and what they appreciated? I don't know. I mean, I definitely wasn't alive back then, so I wouldn't be able to say. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of cool. Cinderella has had a little bit of controversy since its release, us being, of course, wiser and much more different than back in the 50s. Some viewers have called her too passive, one-dimensional, bland, colorless, and a bit of a gold digger who seeks a wealthy man to marry. Do you agree with this?
What? No.
I don't agree.
She's a wonderful person.
I feel like that goes a little too far.
She just wanted to go to the ball and she fell in love.
Yeah, I think so. I think she wasn't after the prince. Otherwise, she wouldn't have wanted to actually dance with somebody she didn't know was the prince. She would have tried to find the prince, I think. But I can see how people might have come across that. But other people have said that she's actually very sweet and strong and brave. So I agree with that. I think it was brave for her to actually go to the ball, even with magic, because she was so scared. Especially knowing that her family was going to be there.
Maybe it was just brave of her to stand all that crap all those years.
Mm-hmm. And not want to sock them in their face. Mm-hmm. Ingrid Bergman was also the inspiration for Cinderella's design. Again, you don't know who that is, but another classic actress from back in the day, in that time, especially 1950. Ingrid Bergman was definitely known for Casablanca. But I can see that. How that kind of, especially her hair being short, you know, mm-hmm. and that style, the way that they styled her was very, very 1950s. So it makes sense to me. All right. So we get another book opening. In Cinderella.
Oh.
And it is read to us. We don't have to read it. It is read to us. But essentially the story is that there's this girl, Cinderella, who has a father who loves her. We don't know exactly how long ago her mother probably passed away, but she's gone. And her father remarries to a woman who has two children, two daughters. One named Anastasia and Drizella. Soon thereafter, Cinderella's father dies.
And poison.
We don't know exactly how he dies. Exactly. It could have been a situation where, yeah, maybe the stepmother just didn't like him as much, and who knows? I don't know. Cinderella is also a story, I think, similar to many other fairy tales. It's definitely one that's constantly being redone. What are your thoughts on that? The fact that the Cinderella story is always being redone in some sort of movie. Because I feel like I've seen probably 20 different versions of Cinderella at this point.
I mean, most stories are always about the...
rags to riches kind of thing.
Rags to riches.
Mm-hmm. You know, you I would it. Agree.
That's how usually all stories, most mm-hmm. stories end up.
Yeah, so Cinderella ends up being a servant in her own house. Now, I guess, do we think that she ended up just taking that servitude?
I think she was just afraid to say no. You know, she would end up
on the streets
or something yep. like that. She wouldn't have been able to take care of herself. At least at this way, she's still got a room to herself.
Yeah, she has right. a place to live.
She's got a place to live. She's got food and all that
yeah.
stuff.
So. Yeah, that's true. Because who knows where she would have been, yeah, if she had said, no, I'm not going to be a servant in your house.
Gather up the other nobles.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
Coo.
So, the fact that the narrator is telling us that even with her circumstances, Cinderella is still a good person. She's still kind. She still cares about people. And even though she's getting these, you know, crappy, you know, cards, you know, dealt to her, she's still not going to allow that change who she is. So we get to hear the song, A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes. And she wakes up with all these woodland creatures, I guess.
Woodland creatures.
Maybe not so woodland, but you get birds and mice waking her up in the morning. Birds
and mice, and she's got a helping her dress.
Oh, yeah.
Helping her bathe.
Helping her bathe.
Making her bed.
Mm-hmm. Making her bed. Oh, the big clock rings and interrupts the song. And she does mention the fact that regardless of what's going on in her life, they can't order her to stop dreaming. Like, she can still dream for something better. And they can't take that away from her. Which I agree. Yep, so she gets ready for the day for her chores and things. When Jack and the other mice show up and tell Cinderella that there's a mouse in a trap. And so Cinderella rescues him from the trap and they give him a name. And clothes.
Yep, give him a shirt.
Yeah, they don't give him anything else, honestly. Does he have a hat? No, I don't think he gets a hat.
No, he has a hat. He has a hat and a shirt.
Does he get shoes? I feel like he gets shoes.
Oh, yeah, they all get shoes. They all have shoes.
They all have shoes, yeah. So at least he gets a shirt and shoes. But it's a little tight.
Because he's a big one.
He is the best thing, though. He is just so cute. But, yeah, so he's a chunky one. The manor is huge. Like, this is one thing we notice. The place that they live in, like, just essentially just the four of them, is a huge house. And the narrator had mentioned that they had basically let it to ruin because they had, I guess, let go of all the other employees because they didn't want to pay her.
No, they squandered all the money.
Yeah, they squandered all the money, and they're essentially just, they're making everything, like, as they go. They're trying to keep the house up. Because it's, like, huge. But you could tell from, like, the trees outside and just the fact that there's only one staff, and that's Cinderella. And she does not get paid. I mean, she shouldn't be. She should be your stepdaughter. But, yeah, so this place is huge. And Jack is essentially telling Gus that he needs to watch out for the cat. Mm-hmm. Because... the cat.
What's the cat's name?
Lucifer. Lucifer. Why did you have to pick that name, too? It's like you made him just villainous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't have a name like Lucifer and be a good guy.
Yeah, so essentially, yeah. They're trying to figure out, you know, how to get food for the morning. But Cinderella has to get Lucifer up. Like, I guess he's the first one that has to get up and get fed first, I guess. And so, he's super mean, though.
It's certainly not my idea to feed you first. It's orders. Come on. Lucifer. Get him, Lucifer. Look, Lucifer. That's him. Gus, take a Lucifer and... Look at... No, Gus, no. Now listen here. Lucifer not a funny. Lucifer mean.
Just super mean. Yeah, so Cinderella goes downstairs to the kitchen to get everything ready for the day. We meet Bruno, the dog.
Mm-hmm. He's dreaming. He's dreaming about...
catching Lucifer.
Catching Lucifer.
Now, she says something to him that I don't know if I necessarily agree with. Cinderella tells Bruno that he shouldn't have those thoughts. That's bad. Mm-hmm. Like, we should just find a way to get along. Now, do you agree with this?
Nope. That Lucifer needs to get bit.
Or something. At least a swat or something.
Oh, he gets his. We'll get there.
But yeah, essentially, they're just like, you know, Bruno, you have to get along with the cat because otherwise you're not going to be able to have a nice warm bed. So get it together, Bruno. And Bruno's, of course, is like, but Lucifer's mean to him. Lucifer, like, aggressively attacks him with his claws and gets him in trouble. That is not cool. Just mean old cat. Yep, so Cinderella is feeding the chickens and the horse, and she is able to give the mice some food. And so the mice, they, instead of, like, drawing straws, they draw tails.
Yeah, they draw tails, and Jack, It's his turn to distract the kitty.
Mm-hmm. So that they can get food.
Mm-hmm. So he goes and he you know.
The way he just kind of waves goodbye, like, uh-huh. It's his last goodbye is so funny to me. He's like, okay.
Yeah, but Lucifer, he's eating his milk. Mm-hmm. He has his elbows up, and so Jagged goes over there and he just kicks him right in the elbow. I was like, that's what you get, Lucifer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they get food. Gus gets too much, though.
I do, because he's a bigums. He needs some food. He needs it all. Uh-huh. He takes too long.
He takes too long to get back. Uh-huh. He ends up not being able to carry all of his corn kernels.
Well, he drops it. It makes noise. And Lucifer sees him. He starts sneaking.
And at that point, Jack is trying to get him back, and he even pulls, like, one of his whiskers out, I think. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't care. He's like, I see this mice right here. This mouse. This big one. I'm juicy. Yeah, so Gus walks right into Lucifer, and he just goes, and he sees Lucifer's big old mouth. And so, of course, he takes off running. Jack at one point checks to see if Gus is still there, but he's like, okay, maybe he got away. But he did get away, but he ended up being in one of the cups of the breakfast trays for one of the girls.
Yeah, because the girls and the mom, the stepmom, they wake up and they're ringing the bell.
They're ringing the bell for service, I guess. Which, I mean, ideally would make sense if you had more than one person doing service. They're calling her name, trying to get, you know, their breakfast. And Gus ends up in one of the cups. Lucifer still tries to get at him. Lucifer knows that one of the girls is going to find him, so he kind of just waits for one of them to scream. And it ends up being Anastasia. And Anastasia thinks that it's Cinderella's doing on purpose to give her a mouse in her cup for breakfast. Mm-hmm. So, she, of course, tells her mother. So, we get a shot of Lady Tremaine, finally. Like, a close-up. It's very scary. Her eyes do kind of glow a little yellow. It's a little scary. Mm-hmm. It's a little scary. But, essentially, Lady Tremaine is very upset. Very upset. And gives her all these extra chores. Even though she's already done some of them. She says, do them again. So, Cinderella's doing chores. We go to the palace to meet the king. And the king is talking to his Grand Duke. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that's who it is.
I don't remember his name, but he's a Grand Duke.
Mm-hmm. And he wants his son to marry. He has come back, I guess, from whatever college or university or academy he was in. And he's come back. The king is saying he doesn't want to, you know, die before his grandchildren.
He wants some grandbabies.
Yeah, which makes sense, you know. Yeah, he says, I'm not getting any younger. You know, I want to hear, you know, my grandchildren in the palace. And so he decides to put together a ball celebrating, you know, his son's return. And that he'll use that ball as a way to, you know, kind of invite ladies.
Invite all the ladies to the party.
So that way they can meet him and maybe one of them, you know, he'll be interested in. The king seems a little abusive to the duke. He's very harsh with him. He mm-hmm. likes to fling him around and he's a little aggressive with him. And I guess the grand duke just kind of allows this to happen because of the fact that he's, you know, he's the boss, essentially.
I'd be like, you better back up, dude.
But, so they're, of course, excited. They're sending out invitations. Cinderella is doing some chores in the main foyer. Foyer. The girls are upstairs trying to have a music lesson. But it's not going very well. Sway, my grand house. The pear-shaped toes. High above me, oh, sing, sweet nightingale, sing, sweet nightingale.
That's not far off.
It's not far off. But of course, Cinderella, being beautiful and talented, can sing the song correctly. So she's singing, cleaning. We get a nice shot of her face in all these like bubbles, like her silhouette in all these bubbles in different colors, which is great. Lucifer hears her, but what does Lucifer do?
Oh, he's all the dust that she already swept up. He put his paws in it, and he just starts pop, 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 walking around.
Friends are everywhere.
You punk.
Ugh, I would have wanted to fling him. And she looked like she did. She was going to grab her broom. And she had said, like, I'm going to have to teach you a lesson.
I would have swatted him.
But before she could do that, the someone's knocking at the door.
Yeah.
And it is a messenger from the king's palace.
Open in the name of the emperor.
Open in the name of the king. Something like that. But yeah, it's an invitation. Cinderella takes it upstairs. Mm-hmm. And of course, Lady Tremaine is upset that Cinderella had the audacity to interrupt.
Well, I'm glad she interrupted, because that was terrible.
Well, because the girls end up fighting. Like, I think Anastasia gets hit with her own flute at one point. Just, boom. But so they read the invitation saying that all of the eligible maidens in the realm, whatever, are allowed to attend this ball. And that, you know, make sure to have everything together so that way you look nice. Mm-hmm. Cinderella says that, okay, well, then that means I can go too, right? And all three of them are like, what?
What?
What are you talking about? You go to the ball? And Cinderella has to remind them, well, I'm still a member of this family.
Yeah.
So that means I am able to go because my father was married to you. So that also makes me part of this family.
Recognize.
So I'm also, you know, daughter, you know, even if it is stepdaughter, but daughter of Lady such and such. So, of course...
Your title came from my daddy.
So, Cinderella wants to go to the ball. And Lady Tremaine says that if you can get all of your chores done and find something suitable to wear, then you can go. Mm-hmm. And as Cinderella is leaving, the stepsisters are asking their mother, like, well, why did you say that? Like, why would you let her go?
I said if.
That's what I said. And they are, like, kind of grinning. Like, oh, okay, well, she's never going to get, you know, all of her chores done. So they give her extra chores to do on this particular day just to make sure that she doesn't get her stuff done. So Cinderella's looking at her dress, you know, to adjust and make pretty. But of course, yeah, she has to do all these extra chores. So Gus and Jack decide to talk to the other mice, and the other mice come up with a plan.
Yep, come up with a plan. All the women start seamstressing, and then
leave the sewing to the women.
Yes, leave the sewing to the women.
You go get some trimming. Yep. So they Gus and Jack are in charge of essentially getting extra bits and pieces for this dress, and the lady mice are sewing. So Gus and Jack find a sash and some beads that Anastasia and Drizella just threw away, I guess. Yeah,
they literally said that that's trash.
That it's trash, yeah, that they didn't want it. And that'll come back around later, the fact that they just threw these things and said they didn't even want them. But Gus and Jack grab them, but of course they have to fight Lucifer. And so Lucifer ends up in a real big fight with the mice, and he gets stuck in like one of the shirts, mm-hmm. I guess. But they're able to get the beads. Now we also have to mention that during these encounters with Lucifer, Gus is not at all quiet when they're sneaking around. Mm-hmm. He's always chuckling and giggling when they're going around, you know, behind Lucifer's back, mm-hmm. and gives them away.
Yeah, he's a big old dummy.
It's cute, though.
Yes. He's cute till he's dead.
Well, yeah. He could easily be in a situation where, you know, he accidentally ends up, you know, dying because of his, you know, chuckling. But, yeah, so they bring back all of the goodies back to Cinderella's room. They're getting her dressed together. Cinderella ends up finishing all of her chores. She's, of course, very, very sad. She lets Lady Tremaine know that the coach has arrived. And Lady Tremaine, all nasty, basically says, "Oh, you're not going. You're not going with us?"
Yeah, because I ain't got a dress. I didn't have time.
And Cinderella has to say no, because I didn't have time to get a dress ready. And you know that. So wrong. Yeah, so they end up getting, like, their last preparations ready before they go to the ball. Cinderella goes back to her room and finds a dress.
Mm-hmm. All nice and pretty, beautiful and pretty.
All done. And the mice give her a surprise. The birds, mice, all of them give her a big old, you know, surprise. Guska says happy birthday. Mm-hmm. That was cute. But she's able to get ready just in time for them, Lady Tremaine and the sisters, as they're heading out the door to say, "Hey, you know, just wait for me. I'm done. I'm ready." And they're, of course, very upset. They did not expect to see her. Lady Tremaine notices that she has a few things on her that look familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So the sash and the beads. The sisters notice that, "Hey, those are ours, you little thief." And they completely ruin her dress.
Yeah, they rip it up.
They rip it up. Like, they just go crazy on her. And just rip it up. And Lady Tremaine is just standing there, just watching all this happen. Not at all concerned.
Mm-hmm. I expressed.
Ugh. Just so, I was so angry. Just, how dare you? Like, you are literally letting your daughters act like this? Even if you didn't like the situation, you couldn't just let her go? Like, I just don't understand that. Like, what about her is so threatening to you?
Is everything.
It has to be the fact that you know that she's twice as pretty as both of your daughters put together. I don't know. Something like that. But I guess we're living in a time where beauty means everything. And so the fact that she's has to take care of this child that's not her own, and she's prettier than her own daughters, maybe it just eats her up inside. Ugh. Ugh. I hate it. Now, granted, not all stepmothers are evil. This was definitely a trope back in the day. In the fairy tales in general, that all stepmothers are evil. Mm-hmm. It's not true. It's just a stereotype, I think. I think we've all seen the error of that kind of stereotype. It's not true. Well, not always. But, so Cinderella is completely distraught. Lady Tremaine and the girls go to the ball. Cinderella goes out into the garden and is crying and says that it's no use. There's no hope left. Like, I can't believe that this has happened to me. And then the fairy godmother shows up.
Yeah, she finally shows up.
I mean, I can't say where she's been this whole time, but, you know, I think that's just where the story was meant to go. So, so the fairy godmother tries to tell her that, you know, it's okay, everything's gonna be fine, and you don't have to worry because I'm here now, and you do have hope, otherwise I wouldn't be here. And we get bibbidi bobbidi boo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she brings her magic wand out, and then she starts getting everything ready. He gets the coach
from
the pumpkin patch.
Yep, the pumpkin becomes a coach. She gets
the horses from the Mises.
The Mises. Uh-huh. The mice become horses. Bruno becomes a footman. The horse becomes the coachman.
Uh-huh.
And they just look adorable. Cinderella gets a new dress. It takes her a little bit, uh-huh, though, to get it, though. Sequel. She doesn't notice at first. She's like, "Oh yeah, you look fine." And then she's like, "Oh my gosh, your dress."
Yeah. Hey, maybe that's like a new trend where everything's just all trashy. It's grunge, the grunge.
The grunge look, yeah. Yeah, so she gets a very pretty dress. It looks blue when she gets to the ball, I think. But when we first see it, it looks more like a silvery white, almost. Oh. Like silvery white color. But if you go to, like, Disneyland, Cinderella's dress has always been blue. Mm-hmm. Which is another reason that once we get to Sleeping Beauty, I'll probably bring it up again. The fact that they made Sleeping Beauty's dress pink still grinds my gears because I think the blue looks so much better. The blue was so much better. But apparently they didn't want it to be the same color as Cinderella's. Mm-hmm. Because Cinderella came first. I understand that. And I respect it. I'm just saying I don't like it. Because the pink, I don't like it. It brings her down. It just... brings her down. It does. The pink just does not look as good on her as the blue. The blue was so pretty. Ugh. So when they say make it blue, make it pink, I'm definitely on the make it blue. Because it was very, very pretty in comparison to the pink. But yeah, if you go to Disneyland right now, you see Sleeping Beauty walking around, she's in the pink. Mm-hmm. Same thing with... which doesn't make sense either, because when you see Ariel walking around, she's also in pink. She's wearing pink too.
That's true.
Very interesting. But anyway, so she gets a new dress. She gets some glass slippers. I had never heard of that before, but... because who really wants to dance in glass shoes? Ooh, that sounds awful. I mean, just heels sounds awful. But, the fairy godmother says, like, you know, have a good time, but you have to come back before 12. Why so soon? I don't know. Because to me, it seemed like they were planning on partying all night.
It's going to be an all-night party.
Mm-hmm.
All-night party. But yeah, you're going to sit here, you're going to wait until... I mean, she's ready to just completely give up. Now you show up, and then you only give her 3 hours? That's messed up.
Yeah. That's messed up. Mm-hmm. So, at the strike of midnight, the spell will be broken, and everything will go back to where it was. The magic will end. Cinderella goes to the ball. She meets the prince. And they start dancing.
Yeah, and they dance all night, too.
I guess. They dance for hours. Because it just seems like the time just kind of flew by.
I don't know. See, maybe they only danced for like 10 minutes and then they went out. And they were talking, hugging, and all that other stuff, too.
Kissing?
Uh-huh. Kissing?
No, I don't think they kissed yet.
Oh, they were kissing. They were totally kissing.
Yeah, no, I don't think they kissed yet. But she doesn't realize, though, that it's the prince that she was dancing with. She just started dancing with somebody, I guess. Now, mind you, she's never been to a ball, so she has no idea what goes down at a ball. So I wouldn't expect her to know exactly how this was supposed to go. But she went, she was excited, and she started dancing with somebody. And so they're hanging out in the, you know, just balcony area, I guess. We see the big clock, and we get the song, So This Is Love, and that's one of my favorite songs of the movie. It's very sweet.
So this is love. Mm-hmm. So this is love. So this is what makes life. I'm all aglow. And now I know.
And now I know.
And the strike of midnight starts tolling.
Mm-hmm.
So she has to go. As she's running, she loses one of her shoes on the steps. We also forgot to mention that the king recognizes that he was dancing with Cinderella, so he decides to go to bed. And he tells the Grand Duke, like, make sure that she is okay. So that way, you know, let me know when my son proposes to this girl. Because I know it's going to happen. And kind of, like, threatens him a little bit. You know, like, if it doesn't work out, I'm going to have your head. Essentially.
I would have retired.
Yeah, but, yep, so Cinderella is running. She gets into her coach and they start traveling. The Grand Duke sends horses after her. I know,
he seeks the soldiers against her.
Yeah, he's telling him to get after her. Uh-huh. The magic ends, though, before she gets home. And they crush the pumpkin. But she still has one of her glass slippers. And I don't know exactly why that part of the magic still stayed, but hey, it works. So she holds on to that glass slipper. I'm assuming she had to walk back home.
Oh, yeah, she totally walked back home.
Because she didn't have no other, you know, means of transportation.
So. I mean, she had a horse, whatever his name was.
Oh, yeah, that's right. His name. Yeah, the horse. Okay, see, she could just rode him back. That's not bad. But, yep, so the king wakes up, or rather the Grand Duke wakes up the king to tell him that the pretty girl that you saw got away. Mm-hmm. And he's freaking out.
I know, he's swinging a sword.
Yeah,
he was literally trying to murder
the Grand Duke. Yep, he was so angry. But the Grand Duke tells him that, hey, everything's going to be okay. We have a glass slipper here. Maybe we can find her this way. And so the king recognizes it and says, okay, you will find this lady with this slipper and you'll make it happen. So they end up traveling however many, you know, places in this town, in this city. And another, I guess, notice or invitation gets to the Tremaine house. Mm-hmm. And lets them know that whoever so fits this glass slipper will be the bride of the prince. So be on the lookout. But Lady Tremaine says this, and Cinderella overhears. And she is in shock and drops her little tray of tea, I think, that she had. And she kind of gets into this, like, daze for a second. Mm-hmm. Because she is just so in love with this prince.
Yeah. She didn't even know his name. Probably Bradley or something.
Why Bradley? But anyway, she's super entranced by this idea of, oh my gosh, I could be, you know, finally, you know, find love. Like, I don't think she took it as, like, I could finally be rich. Because it's not like she was living in a poorhouse. I just think that she wanted to be free of her family, you know? And we have to think that at this time, the only way to be free of your family was to be married and start a new family, you know? So, at least for women, at least. So, I think that's what she thought. She's like, I can finally get married and be free. And not to mention, it was someone that, you know, she fell in love with. And I love that idea, you know? But Lady Tremaine notices this look in her eye and locks her inside her room. It's very sad.
Well, I think she recognizes it. She's like, wait a minute.
So
I know who you are. Right.
She must have been the girl at the ball. Mm-hmm. Even though they didn't recognize her at first.
Yeah, they were in the back, because who cares about them?
Mm-hmm. So Jack, and Gus find out that Cinderella's locked in a room, and so they are going after the key. And Lady Tremaine has it, so they're going after it. The Grand Duke shows up. He's completely exhausted, I'm sure, because he's been from house to house all night trying to find this mystery girl with this one shoe. And so Lady Tremaine welcomes him and says, hello, you know, have you noticed my beautiful daughters? And they proceed to try on the shoe, and they cannot fit into it.
Mm-hmm. They got big feet.
They got very big feet. Not to say that big feet automatically means ugly stepsister, but hey, I got big feet. But
no, you don't.
I feel like I got big feet.
You ain't got no big feet.
The shoe itself looks so small. Like, I don't even know how Cinderella fit into it. It looks like a little teeny tiny thing. It's just small. But yeah, they can't fit into it. Jack and Gus finally get the key out of Lady Tremaine's pocket, and they have to get it up the stairs. It's a long way. Mm-hmm. So they finally get up the stairs. At one point, they're about to reach the top and get it into Cinderella to kind of slide it under the door. And Lucifer shows up.
Yeah, he just happens to show up. But they're trying to... He's trying to essentially stop them.
Well, I mean, at this point, like, all of the animals gather. Like, all of the animals are fighting Lucifer. Mm-hmm. It's not even just Jack, and Gus anymore. It's all of the birds, the rest of the mice, they're trying to get him.
What's it coming, Cinderella? What's it coming?
You've got the key. How did you ever manage it? Lucifer! Let him go, Lucifer. Please, let him go. Let him go.
Let him go. Let him out. Let him out. Here. Lucifer.
Because, I'm sorry, I like cats, but this one is one I would let go. Because, no, this is not right. Now, maybe this is also where we get the notion that cats are evil, because after a while, a lot of cats that are portrayed in Disney are kind of evil. Like, Scar, Lucifer, Shere Khan. There's a lot of mean cats. But yeah, so they are able to get Lucifer out by getting Bruno. So the birds go, some of the mice go to get Bruno because he's the only one that can get Lucifer. So they get him and Lucifer gets scared. And what exactly happens to Lucifer?
He falls out the window.
Now, does he jump out the window and then fall, or did they push him?
I think he fell out the window.
I think so, too. Because I think he got scared of Bruno, and he went onto the windowsill and fell. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, the tower, so it's high. So we assume that Lucifer died.
Oh, he totally died. He plummeted to his death.
I mean, no, that's sad.
That's not sad.
Well, also, Lucifer, you had it coming. Lucifer, if you had been nicer, I bet you that Cinderella would have taken you to the palace.
I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, technically, he's also still Lady Tremaine's cat, so. But who was going to take care of you? Nobody now.
Nobody.
Right, because they're not going to take care of you.
Nope.
Yep, so Lucifer falls out of the window of this big old tower. Cinderella is able to get out of the room with the key. Lady Tremaine notices that she's coming down the stairs, and she trips the little assistant person that was there, because they were going to have her try on the slipper, and he trips, and the glass slipper breaks into a little bitty pieces.
And Duke's all sad because he's like, I'm going to die. And then Cinderella's like, I got this other one. Surprise, it's me.
And Lady Tremaine's face just goes, ah. I'm like, what?
Huh? If it was a noise, it would have been, ah.
Because she was literally not expecting that she would have the other one. But, ha, got you. I was very happy. So she tries on the glass slipper, and we fast forward to the wedding of the prince and Cinderella, and they're both in white, and they're walking down the steps. She loses her shoe again.
Oh, that lady.
Yes.
She needs to put on some boots.
Or get the heels with the little wrap around the ankle thing so they don't fall. But yeah, so she slips out of one of her shoes again, and the king shows up and puts it back on. He's all cute, and you know, she kisses him, and he turns all red. But you get a shot of the mice in their little outfits up there. So cute. But yeah, we end the movie with them in the coach, getting a big old kiss, and they lived happily ever after. And the book closes. Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's all I got. So what do we think? What do we give it? Out of what?
Out of 5 Mises.
5 Mises. I give it a 5.
You give it a 5?
I do. I love this movie so much. I'm going to put in the fact that there are so many good quirks. There's so much laughter. Lucifer's a jerk, but he gets it, you know, in the end, and the sisters are just dumb, and it's a great movie. I love it. So I'm gonna give it a 5.
I give it 5. Because I like the songs.
Oh, the songs are so good too. Yeah, so many good songs. Who was the best and who was the worst?
Who was the best? Jack-Jack was the best.
I think Gus Gus was the best.
What? No, Gus Gus was a dummy. Okay. Jack Jack was the ringleader. I mean, he was the leader of all the woodland creatures. Right? If it wasn't for him, nothing would have happened.
But Gus Gus is so brave.
But he's the brave.
He just had to deal with Lucifer coming after him all the time. And just, he made me laugh so much. Just the way he looks at Lucifer. And then when he still could not get all them corn kernels, like, stacked up and he uses his teeth. It's so good. It's so good. Who's the worst?
The emperor.
The emperor?
The emperor.
Oh, the king?
Yeah, the king. Whatever.
Really?
Yeah, no, he's terrible. He's ungrateful. Terrible person. Like, always threatening to murder people.
I mean, that's true. Maybe he'd just been, you know, king too long or something.
Yeah, Lady Tremaine was just, she was just evil. Uh-uh. She was just straight up evil. Mm-mm. But the king, I mean, he was terrible. He's just like, I'm a king, so I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna threaten your life because I'm a king. I'm terrible.
No, but I still say that Lady Tremaine is the worst. She was just the absolute worst. She let her daughters completely attack this girl out of jealousy. Ugh. Like, ugh. I can't stand it. I just... You know what it makes me feel like? It makes me feel like she's portraying this stereotype of, like, ugly women hate pretty women. I hate that. I hate that. Because that is absolutely not true. And listen. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. We all know this, but some people are a little, you know, different, okay? Facially, bodily, like, all of it. Listen, that does not mean that the typical, you know, ideal of beauty that we see in, like, TV and the magazines and all that, that doesn't mean that that's wrong. That's just one form of beauty. And me being a particular type of woman, I'm not going to hate on another woman just because she looks different than me. Mm-hmm. That's just not going to happen. So I hate the idea of this whole, you know, we're going to hate on her because she's prettier than we are. That's terrible. Just, she's the worst. She's the worst. Ugh. Ugh, she's just the worst. I wish she had been pushed out that window. All right. Well, another one down. What are we doing next?
So we are going to do... We're going to go into Star Wars.
We're going to go into Star Wars?
Because I wasn't prepared, so I wasn't really thinking about anything. So, we're going to do The Empire Strikes Back.
Okay. Oh, we're not going to go in order?
No, we're not going to go in order. We're going to go with the best.
Okay. All right. Well, see you next time.
We'll see you.